welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Praise the Lord. I am going to just speak this morning on, and or not so much speak on, lead you through the Bible on a subject that God just brought to my attention. You may say, do we really need to hear that as a church? Well, you can decide yourself. The subject is praise. It is one of the most powerful ministries that the Bible has to offer other than salvation. Praise changes circumstances in our lives and brings about the manifestation of the presence of God. But more importantly, praise exalts and enthrones God. In our life, we, by praise, bring His presence right into the circumstance, right into our home, right into your life in a manifest form, rather than I'm saved. Knowing the power of His presence, praise does that and more. And I want to just lead you through a few scriptures this morning and just put a little bit meat on, where I sense that's important. But I'm going to just start with a couple of New Testament scriptures. I'm going to remind you of John's Gospel, chapter 4. You can turn there to verse 23 and 24 in your Bible. But in John's Gospel, chapter 4, it's when Jesus encounters the woman at the well and is sharing with her the fact that God's got plans for her life, and God has told him a few things about her, and she could hardly embrace that. But that same passage takes us on to the wonderful truth that came out of his dialogue with her, and that was this: that God is a spirit, or God is a spirit being, or God is a spirit, and that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that revelation truth is, again, vital for you and I to know that we can only worship God in spirit and in truth. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit in you and I, whose ministry it is to minister unto the Lord, to magnify God, to worship God, but He does it through us. But He can't do it if we don't let Him. But it's He that does it. So it doesn't come out of our head, it comes in out of our spirit man. We're alive in God, and we're open to the greatness of our King and our Savior. And we allow the Holy Spirit in us just to praise Him. And so that's what we are called to do. We're called to do that here this morning, as has been taking place, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Truth, in other words, is a way to worship God. And the Bible teaches us that way. Psalm 100, which we might refer to, for instance, tells us to come into His gates with thanksgiving. That's our approach to God. You don't just come in, plonk yourself on the seat, stand up because we're going to worship God, and start to worship God. He says, come into His presence with thanksgiving, and into His gates with thanksgiving, and to His courts with praise. Hallelujah. So when we come into the presence or the courts of the Lord, I'm not right in His presence. I'm just there where God is, but I come there with praise. It's an approach to God. That approach enables us to, as spirit-filled people today, it enables us to ourselves be conscious that we are the instrument that enables the Holy Spirit to fulfill His role in exalting and magnifying God. And if we don't, the Bible says that we are robbing ourselves, I'm not quoting, we are robbing ourselves of what God's planned for our lives. So let me take you to a few scriptures. I'm going to just take you to a couple in the New Testament, and then I want us to look at the Old Testament, because the Bible is prolific. And I want to remind you, before I take you on this small journey this morning, that the New Testament is somewhat silent when it comes to talking and teaching about praise and worship. It's there, but it's somewhat silent. And you'll hear me, I'm sure I would have said this to you before, the Old Testament is prolific with it. Throughout the whole of the Old Testament, the evidence of a relationship that God has with mankind and God has for mankind to have with Him is found. And that is the attitude of worship. So the whole of the Old Testament, we find the instruction, we find the expression of the heartbeat of God towards man and man towards God as being that of praise and worship. It's not an option. It's not an option. But you'll find that in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's somewhat quiet. You won't find very much in the New Testament about praise and worship. You won't find it. It's not necessary. The Old Testament is the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant that did not have for mankind a living relationship with God all the time. Blood had to be shed for them. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, had a people that just knew what it was to have a relationship with God was to have worship for God. You couldn't have a relationship. You read the Old Testament, you couldn't have a relationship with God without being a worshiper, attending the place of worship, being involved in worship. The whole tenor of the Old Testament is worship God. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy of worship. Glory and honor belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. And we can go on and on. The Old Testament tells us that. That's the Old Covenant. The New Covenant came in. And it came in on the back of the Old Testament, on the Old Covenant. The New Covenant is a better covenant, but it was not going to leave behind one central figure, and that was the figure of mankind worshiping God perpetually and continually. Jonathan referred this morning to Bangor, the light of the world, it's known as. You can go into Europe, many of the countries there, and you've got churches there, and the capstone over the church says, established by Columbanus of Bangor Abbey, Bangor County Down, Northern Ireland. Because the message was taken out into Europe. We developed the Word of God through the people, and we are called to do that. We're called to worship God, and we're called to be the carriers of the power and presence of God, and that increases in our lives proportionate to the worship that's in our lives. Worship is the greatest thing that we can enter into. And in most people's lives, even Christians, it's the least part of their life, though they're Christians. In some cases, it only happens when they go to church. And yet, we are to be a perpetual instrument of worship and adoration to the Lord. Revelation 4 talks to us about let me turn you there. Revelation chapter 4. I think it's around about 10 or older. Yes. Let's go to verse 8. Oh, yes. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night. Listen to it. They do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Wow. Praise and worship in our lives should be endless. Throughout the day there should be an incense from you and I as an individual going up unto the Lord. It should be a perpetual experience that we are having and God is receiving. And yet for so many Christians even, never mind the unsaved, how can you bring the unsaved when they don't know our God? For many Christians, worship might be something that takes place on a Sunday morning when they go to church. And yet it's supposed to be all the time. And so, let's try to get a grasp of the importance towards God of praise and worship, but also to ourselves. Turn with me to Hebrews 13. This is a powerful passage of scripture. Hebrews 13. Powerful in relation to worship. And I want you to turn with me to verse 14 and 15. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Notice that we seek, there's one coming and we know what we're seeking. Therefore, because we're seeking that which is to come, therefore, by him, that's Jesus, let us continually, say that word with me, continually. Is that what we do most of the time, what we've just done? Play at it? Are we all in the house of God? Are we all Christians? Let us say continually. Let's say continually. Amen. That was a bit better, wasn't it? Continually. Say it again. Continually. Yeah. Yeah. Why are we mute when it comes to the things of God, church? I'm off the sheet now. Why are we mute when it comes to the things of God? And yet we're so prolific with our voice when it comes to anything and everything else. Why is that? Yeah, I'm being naughty. I'm being bold. I'm God's representative here this morning. And we are God's people. And we're here to salt the earth. We're here to stand against everything that is representative of darkness and evil. We've got to be vociferous, church. We've got to have it in our own lives, and we've got to be those that speak it out. Amen. Hallelujah. Let them say, I have a great wife, you know. Did you hear her? Let them say,
continually.
Oh, you're still not on the page. Let them say,
continually.
Okay. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of what? Praise to God. What does the Bible call it? A sacrifice. In other words, it costs. It's not something that's easy just to go and do. It is, but it's not. I'll tell you why it's not. We are so caught up with so many other things. Our mind is preoccupied with other objectives and things we have to do. Our circumstances don't easily lend itself to us being bold and magnifying the Lord because we're self-conscious. Or there is a set of circumstances or surroundings that we're in doesn't allow us to do that. But the Bible says let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Praise is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. It's something that we do that costs us. Praise God. Jesus was a God-given sacrifice on our behalf. It costs. And the sacrifice that the writer of Hebrews is communicating to us therefore is simply this. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks in his name. Is it up there? Therefore, Therefore, by him, let us continually. How are we to do it?
Continually.
Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to God. So he's telling us what it is. It's going to come out of our mouth, by our lips. And what's going to come out? Thanks to God. We're going to recognize that it's God that we thank for every good thing that takes place in our life. How's that going to come about? Because we continually do it. This is not for me just to preach to you this morning. This is for me to get you to make sure that we all do it. This is praise. I'm going to show you that there's some awesome benefits for praise. The praise isn't just the benefit of the Lord, but he is the object of our praise. We're going to magnify his name. Do you not love to praise God? I love to praise God. It's a joy to praise God. I want to shout. I want to praise. I want to declare. I want the world to know that my God is good and great and worthy of all praise. Hallelujah. For me, it's a very personal thing. God's desire is that it's a personal thing in all of our lives. We want to praise the Lord. I'm not a nice guy, so therefore, what would people think if I praise God? I'm there to praise God because he's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the greatest person in my life. I'm going to praise him. Yes, and I'm going to let you know, and the world know, how much I'm going to praise him, because I, like King David, will dance whether it offends people or not, and they think that, fancy that dignified man doing that. Well, I'm bowed before the King of all kings, and I'm going to praise him. Hallelujah. Now, this morning, my emphasis is not our praise in the house of the Lord. Thank God we have great presence and a great team leading us into the presence of God through praise and worship. I'm talking about a praise that's to happen continually. Not just in the house of God, but through the day, through the night time, through the week, in your workplace, in the circumstances, when you're driving, praising God. You cannot praise God enough until it just flows out of your being like breath being breathed in and breathed out again. You're praising and worshiping God. Oh, hallelujah. Your life will radically change, because as you exalt God, and the more you exalt him, there's a cloud of glory that gets put around you by the Holy Spirit, and you become separated from the power of darkness that's targeting your life. To embrace that, you have to do it. You can't get that any other way. And it's not a trial thing. It's you setting your heart and say, I don't have to set my heart. I'm born again. Lord, I love you so much. So it's something that comes out of you and me all the time. All the time. And the consequence of that is the glory of God starts touching your life. It surrounds you like a shield. The joy of the Lord is always inside of you. There's a peace that nothing can mar and no man can take away. It comes out of the joy of the Lord that's inside of you so much that you want to praise him. It's the joy of the Lord that motivates you and I to praise him and worship him. And that joy can only be there based upon the relationship that we have with God. And it all comes out of that relationship. Personal relationship. But nonetheless, let's look to see how true it is biblically, because it's communicating it all the time. I just want to pick up on a couple of things there. Verse 15, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Now, that word offer the sacrifice of praise to God, you may have heard me say in the past, in the Greek, you'll find that that has the connotation of to bring, to carry, to bring, to carry, to bear. That one Greek word describes to bringing as you and I carrying it. So when I come to church, for instance, on Sunday morning, never mind through my day, I am coming carrying my praise to bring, to carry, to bear. What am I bringing? What am I going to do? I'm going to offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Is what is a sacrifice of praise? It tells us there, the sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of our lips. In other words, you're going to talk. You find it very difficult to talk with your mouth closed. Try it. There's no one talking to me now. You've all got your lips closed. You see, you've got to have your mouth open to talk to God. The sacrifice of praise, and that sacrifice is the fruit of our lips. Doing what? Giving thanks to God. That is praise to the Lord. The sacrifice of praise. I'm giving thanks to Him. I don't know about you, but I find I'm perpetually giving thanks to God. It doesn't come from here. It comes from here. I don't think to do it. It's just coming out all the time. And it's hard to describe. It's just part of my life. I think it should. I do believe it's. We're all called to have it as part of our life. It just comes out. How does that happen? You mean we've lost control? No, it's the Holy Spirit, who's resident in us. It's His ministry to minister unto the Lord. You and I are given the permission and the right to do that, or we stop Him. You and I should be worshippers of God, not even because you're mindful of doing something. I'm aware I'm doing it, but I'm not the initiator of it. That's very difficult for me to describe. But I'm not the initiator of it. I just find I'm worshiping God. I'm just praising Him, thanking Him. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to offer this sacrifice of praise. Let me take you to another New Testament scripture in Luke. Because we need to be reminded that God tells us through His Word how important it is that we offer the fruit of our lips, as we've read, for instance, in Luke 19 is where we're going. In verse 37. Then as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to Him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But He answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent and not praise Me," the stones would immediately cry out. Think about that. You know the scripture, I'd like to think, but I just want to remind you of it. If we don't praise God, we have lost the privilege of being an instrument that magnifies and worships the only true God, the King of all kings. And if we don't do that, the very stones will cry out. Do you want a stone to be your substitute? We're called to praise and to magnify the Lord. Turn with me. Psalm 48. I want to just show you the heart of people who weren't born again by the Spirit of God, but had a personal relationship with God by and through the law. Okay? It was works. And these people had a relationship with God through the law. Turn with me to Psalm 48. "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness." Praise the Lord. Here, here's the psalmist just his energy towards this is demonstrated in the way he's put his words together. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God in the mountain of his holiness. He is worthy of praise, church. Not just on Sunday morning. He is worthy of praise the minute you wake up through the day, before you go to bed. He is worthy of praise. Hallelujah. Just to say, I love you, Lord. I want to magnify your name. Lord God, there is no one like you. Who can compare with you? Thank you, Lord, for the power that's in my life because of your love for me and your deliverance every day of my life and your keeping power. You are my provider. Hallelujah. You are my keeper. You are my guide. You're my leader. Thank you, Lord. And I want to take you through a few passages in starting at Psalm 145, I think. Yes, let's go through these few. Psalm 145. We'll do the start. Of course, it's so rich. This word, the saints of God just wanted to worship and praise God, it seems. Psalm 145, I will extol you, verse 1, I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another. 146, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. Hallelujah. Let's go over to verse 147, verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. How about that? Praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. Psalm 148, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens. Praise heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded, and they were created. Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Oh, and his praise in the assembly of the saints. Can I just stop there for a minute? Pretty regularly on a Sunday, I sense that the worship team are trying to get you and I to praise in the terms of words of the scripture. Sing to the Lord a new song. The worship team are trying to get you and I to break out and worship God in spirit and in truth with a new song. The Bible talks about the teruah. I'm not going to go into that, otherwise we'll not get home today. But the teruah, and it's that which comes out of you and me if we will allow the Holy Spirit to be the Holy Spirit as and who is Lord. In other words, let him do whatever he wants to do. Can I tell you one thing? The Holy Spirit's number one role is to worship the Lord. There is one thing that the Holy Spirit will do through you. There's many things, but this he will do. He will worship God through you because that's his call, that's his ministry, and he wants to do it. Praise the Lord. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit in you and me fulfills all the promises that have ever been made and accomplished for us in Christ Jesus. Psalm 149. Let's go to Psalm 150. I hope you know these wonderful truths. Psalm 150 says, praise the Lord. How many know Psalm 150? Yeah. Let me see your hands if you're familiar with Psalm 150. Okay. So you know this, that it says that everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Are you being faithful to that commitment, to all those that have breath? I'm leaving it to you. God just brought this to my attention. It's not the sort of thing I would normally minister on in this sense. But God just brought my attention to this, the importance of praise in our lives. I'm not talking about sanctuary now. I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about the importance of praise in our lives. It enthrones Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If He's enthroned by you, His presence is there. Let me carry on reading. Praise the Lord, Psalm 150. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. There's a lot of things to praise Him for, isn't there? Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I remember a time earlier in the ministry when this church was just starting to grow and grow in the things of God and the Spirit of the Lord, and we became increasingly aware. I vividly remember when God started to stir in my heart that we need to be a people of worship and what that worship looked like. Worship for many of us is singing songs, singing hymns. But there's a deeper dimension of worship, and it's that dimension that begins in us, as I've been sharing with you, and moves out from there. But when God started with me, I suppose, aware of the fact that there was a greater expression of praise, and it says, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. In other words, there should be some sound coming from instruments, not just us as human beings. And we are trumpets, you know. We got some lungs, and we can let out some air and put in tune to it. Praise Him with instruments, praise Him with the harp, praise Him with the timbrel. And then, you know, so we had what do you call them? Cymbals. Tambourines, which were controlled, if you like. It wasn't just crazy. They were just part of the whole worship. And then praise Him in the dance. And you've heard me talk about that. But dancing before the Lord is praise, and it's worship. It's recognition of His God. And all of those things we started to put into operation. We used to use the Kirkcaldy Community Center at that particular time. And all these things were being put into operation. We'd started to move into it quite fully, really. And we used to have people coming, trying to peep in to hear what all this din was about and all this carry on was about. And we had some churches do that to us as well. I'll leave it there, I won't say any more. But I'm saying all that to say, this is praise and worship. This is praise and worship. Don't mishear me when I say what I'm going to say now. It is not just us coming, standing, and singing. It is us worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And our whole being is an instrument of worship and praise unto the Lord. And for there should not only be our singing, but there should be some clapping. There should be some dancing. There should be some joy. There should be some new songs coming out unto the Lord that magnifies the Lord. Praise to the Lord. Praise unto the Lord God Almighty is something that's absolutely awesome. I'm going to want to turn you to Psalm 100, I think. Time is going. Gone. Let me turn you to Psalm 100. I want to turn you, I think, to two passages, and then we'll close. Psalm 100. Great psalm. How many know Psalm 100? Familiar with it? Make a joyful shout. Hallelujah. How about that? Oh, but you don't do that in church? No, we don't do it individually. We do it together. Shout unto the Lord. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. All you lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You know, there's an approach to the Lord. There's a way to come into his presence. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Let me just stop there. I'm just responding to the nudge of the Holy Spirit. Come into his presence with singing. Not, oh, I've got to pray or get a turn. You can't sing without there being something in you. There's a joy in there when you want to sing. There's a release. There's no bondage. There's absolute freedom there when you start to sing. And he says, come into his presence with singing. Not with, I've got to pray or got to read or whatever it might be. There's a liberty. There's a freedom. I want to do this. Come into my presence with singing. Hallelujah. Don't get excited about that. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, this is the approach into God's presence, verse 4 and 5. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That's an approach. You're not in the throne room. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. That's what praise is. And bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. I'm going to turn you to one more scripture and we will close. I'm going to turn you to Psalm 149. Because there are great benefits. As I said, benefits to the Lord, but benefits to us. Listen, let's read from verse 5 will do. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Do you sing aloud on your beds? I don't mean a pop tune. I mean just sing aloud unto the Lord in your bed. Praise the Lord. You know, I have the privilege to pastor some great people. If you sing aloud to the Lord on your bed, tells me something's awesome taking place in your life. I'm serious. You don't just sing aloud in your beds unless something's happening between you and him. Is that right, Henry? Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Hallelujah. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute on them the written judgment, this honor. Who does? What? This honor have all his saints. I know I'm being naughty. I'm just trying to get you past a concept of a preaching session. I'm trying to get to you. This honor have all his saints. What? To execute judgment on them, to execute on them the written judgment, this honor has all his saints. So, praise God, when we begin to praise the Lord, God goes into action. And he goes on and says, to bind even kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron and to execute judgment. Do you know what? And I'm going to have to be careful, but do you know what happens when you praise God? Well, we just read what happens. How do we apply this? Well, when the enemies come in like a flood, everything's gone wrong. Everything's gone wrong and going wrong. That's not the time for you to start crying and pleading to God. Yeah, you go into his presence, but when you go there, you enter his presence how? With thanksgiving, with praise. That's how you enter his presence. Everything's going wrong around you here. But bills come in that you've never got. Well, you won't be able to pay it for 100 years. Everything's going wrong. But you start to praise God. Hallelujah. Because let me remind you, where does all the evil come from? Where does the one that's come to steal from us, to kill and destroy, who is it? It's the devil. He is perpetrating his evil strategies on and in your life and your circumstances, your family and your home. That's what he's doing. Now you have an option. You can tell anyone the problem and they'll have sympathy with you because everybody knows what a bad problem could be like. Or you can say nothing to anybody, but you can step up and start praising God that you're kept by his power and he delivers you. And he's the strength of your life. And you know what happens when you start talking to him like that and praising him? Hallelujah. And you're not focused on the issue and you're not focused on the problem. You know what happens? God goes into action and he binds that circumstance and that work of the enemy with fetters of iron that cannot be broken. Hallelujah. And he delivers us. There is not a deliverer like our God. You think I'm talking stuff I don't know? I'm talking pie in the sky? Our God, your God, is a delivering God. And you know what brings that deliverance? Your crying, my crying, our begging? No. Simply recognizing who our God is. Hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. We walk with him, we talk with him, we love him. He loves us, we worship and magnify his name. And that never changes. Nothing can change our circumstance, no matter how big you think the problem is. And when we start to worship God, that's when the enemy or the circumstance gets taken into control by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. My Lord and my God. God's called us to praise, not just in church. I want to encourage you, because I sense that's what God drew my attention to praise for, to bring praise into your life if it's not there. Praise that not just is ascends when you've got a problem. Praise that's there because he's the Lord God Almighty. Praise him all the time because he's God. You will automatically praise him. When the problems come, you'll just turn away from the problem and say, Lord God, I want to bless you. I know that you're my deliverer. I know you'll keep me through and in these sets of circumstances. That's how you praise God. And praise gives us the victory. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at BangerCommunityChurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.